Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Sofitov Institute radio show. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the Sofitov studios in Alachua, Florida. This is David Wolf, your host of the Sofitov radio show, here with Marie Glashine at the controls. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. The number to call to be on the show, 805-285-9749. If you call in and you want to participate, press 1. We'll be delighted to hear from you today. Perhaps you have something, some issue or challenge in your life or some inspiration to share, maybe some question or challenge or comment or realization. Call into the show, the number 805-285-9749. This is the Sofitov radio show, your station for self-realization. Hello, Marie.
Hello, David.
In a lot of our coaching sessions this week, there's a few themes that come up. One theme, by correspondence, is humility. Humility. One book I really like, Bhagavad Gita, describes humility as the primary, first foundation, nirmana moha, the first foundational quality for spiritual realization, for self-realization. And then, so that leads to the discussion of an important distinction of humility and humiliation. Humility and humiliation. And so, I guess, a definition that I heard once from a rabbi in Israel, actually, because he described Moses as being very, very humble. But if we look at Moses, he's actually can be quite a brash character. And certainly very, very bold. Certainly very bold. And this rabbi described humility as knowing our position. And I like that. And for me, that's consistent with my understanding and realization, or lack of realization, of humility. Knowing our position. Because if we look at, like, those, like, greatly inspiring spiritual people, then they're humble, but they're very bold. They're very bold. Humble, courageous, bold. And that if we're meant to do something, of course, acting from our position, that's an element of humility. That means we know ourselves, we know our role. We know what we're here, we know our life mission in a meta sense and in a moment-to-moment sense. And if we neglect to do that out of fear or in the name of humility, we might say, that's false humility. And in fulfilling our life purpose, in doing what we're meant to do in the highest sense, sometimes that might externally look very gentle and unassuming, and sometimes might look very bold and courageous and fierce even. Right? Even fierce. Sometimes for a soldier, humility means surrendering to being a soldier and fighting fiercely. And that could be humility. And it could be a self-absorption to run away from that duty. This comes up a lot in coaching and life coaching, especially in spiritually based life coaching, this principle of humility. You're listening to the Sofitov radio show, your station for self-realization. This is David Wolf, your host. We invite you to write in to our blog talk chat. or to call in 805-285-9749. Also, we encourage you to visit the Sattva Tov website. That's www.sattvatov.com. I'll spell it for you. S as in Stephen, A, T Thomas, V Victor, A, T Thomas, O, V Victor, E, sattvatov.com. On the homepage in the library section, so many articles about transformative communication, practical guidance for self-realization and a life of fulfillment, videos, articles, radio links, audio links. Welcome to the Sattva Tov radio show.
Thank you, David. Thank you, David, for your topic, humility. And yeah, you always surprise me with different topics, and I like that. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes how, in the name of, you know, being nice, respecting others, not wanting to impose on others, not wanting to, not wanting to, you know, like shake them up or you know, like disturb their face, you know, how sometimes out of that we're coming from a place of false humility, of like really not fully caring about people.
Okay, what I'm hearing, Marie, is this way of being that can come from fear, where it's like we have something to share, and we have a way of caring, and we have something to share, something valuable, some truth, some realization, and that oftentimes out of fear of rejection, we withhold ourselves, and we withhold what we have to share. And we might say, oh, I don't want to impose on people. But we might try to shine the light on ourselves and to illuminate it in a with a positive spin, and not acknowledging, well, actually, I'm just fearful that if I really care about this person. And of course, when we say we have something to share, that it's our role to care about this people. Like, you know, let's say if we see someone's walking off a cliff. Someone's walking backwards in a just in a unaware stupor, and they're about to go off a cliff. So I could say to them, Marie, I could say to myself, well, I don't want to impose my view on them. I don't want to impose my view on them because I'm a humble person. No, let me care about that person. I have something to share. 10 feet back, there's a cliff. Look out. Or, hey, let me support you there so you don't fall off the cliff. Or I could just stay there and tell myself what a spiritual person I am, because I'm not imposing as the person falls off the cliff. So that's a rather maybe a shocking, gruesome example, but we can imagine that on the emotional, psychological, interpersonal, spiritual platform. There are cliffs. So we have something to share. Now, when we say share, we're not talking about imposing. We're not talking about being authoritarian, top-down. We're not talking, like an example I've given is like there's this great source of ancient wisdom called the Bhagavad Gita. And it's spoken, most of it is spoken by Krishna. And so he shares so much. He shares so much philosophy, perspective, guidance for a progressive life of self-realization. And then at the end, he says, Yate chasi tata kuru. He says, now do as you wish to do. So I really like that example, because he's sharing boldly and powerfully for 700 verses, more or less. He's sharing boldly and powerfully. He's not withholding his wisdom and realization. He's not withholding. And in his sharing, there's a particular, There's a path of self-realization described, and at the same time, he's fully respecting and honoring free will. It's not that in the name of, well, I respect people's free will, so I won't say anything. It's like, hey, I kind of notice psychologically, spiritually, interpersonally, you seem to be like stumbling off a cliff. And here's what I see. And then, of course, people have choice. Krishna says, now do as you wish to do. So sharing our truth, sharing our realization, sharing our perspective, sharing our feedback, boldly, powerful, courageously, courageously meaning like I'm really detached, that you might appreciate me for sharing this. You might reject me, you might appreciate me, you might respect me. And of course, we're communicating in a way that we take responsibility, that the person feels respected in their free choice. We're not withholding, and we're asserting ourselves in a way that the person feels respected in their free choice. And in that way, we give a person, we give groups of people, we give people in our life an opportunity to respond to who we really are, to respond to our deepest convictions, to respond to what we're passionate about, to respond to what we're enthusiastic about, to respond to who we really are, instead of to just guess what's lying there behind our mask of fear, our mask of I don't care enough about you to be courageous, pseudo humility. You're listening to the Self-Talk Radio Show, your station for self-realization. This is David Wolf. We'll be glad to hear from you on our blog talk chat and or call in. If you call in, 805-285-9749, press 1 to be on the show. Saturday, September 24th, noon to 2 p.m., a new semester of the Safatov Coach Training, Principles and Practices of Transformative Communication. I'm real excited about that, Marie. I'm real excited about that.
I am too, David. I really look forward to it.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure who's enrolled. I know we have people enrolled really from, I'm not going to say all corners of the globe, it might turn out that way, but we got people in Central Europe and England and California and Canada, and even some from the exotic locale called Alachua, Florida. We might even have some from the more exotic locale called Ocala, Florida. Why would anyone want to go to places like London, Paris, or Munich if you could come to Alachua or Ocala?
Yeah, I wonder.
Safatov Coach Training, Saturday. Start beginning Saturday, September 24th, 36 two-hour classes. And the option is there to register for just part one, first 12 classes, 24 hours, or parts one and two, first 24 classes, 48 hours, or all three parts. Mastery in Transformative Coaching, Self-Talk Coach Training. Yes. Being a coach for me is definitely plenty of opportunities to be humble. Plenty of opportunities to like really look at, how can I be in service to this person? Because my role as a coach is to be in service to this person's personal growth. And that often means being in ways and manifesting myself in ways that I don't really feel like manifesting myself. I'd like to do this or say that, but actually the best way to serve this person would be this and that and that. And some could say, well, that's not authentic. Well, I don't. I mean, sometimes I'm not authentic, and I hopefully I I'm open to be aware of when I'm less than authentic. But this, you know, we talk a lot about authentic. I think it was two weeks ago we did this show. A theme was genuineness. Also wrote an article about it not too long ago. It's like, yeah, so genuineness, authentic, means just kind of do whatever you feel. Well, no. I don't see it that way. I mean, sometimes it can be that. Like, for some people to be more authentic, it means to express your emotions more and follow your feelings more. And for some people to be authentic, it means to express your emotions less and follow your feelings less. And some people use emotions to do a whole inauthentic drama. And for a human being, you might say for an animal, to be authentic, well, they don't have to try. An animal's always authentic, and they just always follow their instinctual feelings. Human being authenticity sometimes means that. Human being authenticity also means voluntarily being austere and not doing what our mind, feelings, and senses guide us to do. That's also a natural, authentic drive for the human being, to voluntarily give up some immediate impulse for some higher purpose. We're not talking about living a life of repression and, you know, bang your head against the wall because we can't have that, you know, scoop of ice cream or something. I'm not talking about that. But yeah, so there's a time to follow our feeling, follow my senses just drive me to do this, and I'm going to follow that. There's a time that's healthy for our self-awareness and like that. Authentic, part of authenticity is, yeah, always being aware of what our intellect, our mind, our senses, our emotions, all parts of ourself, what's the message there, what's happening in all parts of ourselves. That's authenticity, that's immediacy, that's conscious living. As far as where we give power, as far as where we choose, what we choose to follow, and how what our actions are and words are guided by, well, that's a choice. So sometimes to just let them be guided by the mind and senses would be let's say at a lower level than letting higher spiritual intelligence guide us. Sometimes our mind and senses might be fully aligned with higher spiritual intelligence, and sometimes not. And that's why the process of conscious living, the process of self-realization, entails that science of self-realization, understanding what is this higher spiritual purpose? How can I know when it's a voice of higher spiritual guidance and when it's just the voice of my foolish mind that keeps getting me into trouble? To learn those distinctions. That's the science and the art of self-realization. You're listening to the Sofitov Radio Show. This is David Wolf, your host, here in the Sofitov Studios with Marie Glashin.
For me, it connects with a question I had for you, David. It's like, you know, like the difference between, like, you know, when I desire someone. So for example, I give an example. I really have the desire to get up at 4 a.m. in the morning, like at least a few times a week. And I don't. I have the desire and I don't. I don't. And when I look at the desire, I'm glad to desire it. But I know I'm not going to do anything about it. And I'm not willing to do anything about it. And I don't have the willpower to do anything about it. Still, I know that I will be very happy if I was to get up, you know, at 3:30 or 4 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. It's reminding me of a program that we conducted really for a year. Last year, Marie, it's called LMP PhD. And in that program, really it lasted for about a year. And we really had about 3 months on what I consider to be just what you're talking about. And it's about stages of change, stages of change. And so you're in a stage called contemplation, which is not pre-contemplation. Pre-contemplation is there's not even awareness. But you're in contemplation. You have a habit that you want to change. And you know it would be good for you. You're not practically doing much groundwork to really change it. You're not in empowered action to change it. And so there's a model. And I'll mention it's a model. There's a book by several authors, but with the chief author's name, Prochaska. And it's called Changing for Good. And we based a module on this Changing for Good by Prochaska et al. And it describes a sort of scientifically researched model for change. And it's a six-step model: pre-contemplation, contemplation, groundwork, action, maintenance, and termination. Termination means completion. So you know you're in termination, where when you're getting up at 4 a.m. every day, and it's just like it wouldn't even occur to you to do something else. That it'd be just like there would be nothing inside you that's even attracted to sleep till 4:05. You're not quite there yet. Right. So I find this model helpful. I mean, it's a bit sophisticated, and we don't want to overcomplicate things. But then there's a saying that for every problem, there's a simple solution, and it's wrong. So for complex situations, sometimes we want to look at the complexities, and that spiritual realization means that we're so fixed, we're so situated, we're so realized in principles of self-realization that we're able to respond simply to the complexities of life and the complex interplay of principles that life and relationships present. We're able to respond not simplistically, but simply. So it sounds to me that you have an awareness which I think can be healthy, especially if you know where you are. Okay? You're not in rationalizing, because I'm not imposing on you, Marie, that like, yes, you should get up at 4, but you've, based on your value system and your sense of your process of growth, you've determined that this will be good for me. So you're not in rationalization. No, it's okay if I get up an hour later or 2 hours. It's okay because this and that. Yeah, because the internet at night and I had to check the email. You're not in rationalization. So that's not, you're not like unaware. You're not pretending not to know. Okay, so you're aware. You're in contemplation. You'd like to change. And you're aware that you're not ready to potently move forward. And so I'm not saying that just be content with being in that awareness forever, but also to acknowledge yourself for where you're at. And then perhaps maybe from where you're at, you can look at what might be a realistic, grounded plan to come to the next stage, which isn't necessarily change, but it might be the next stage, really making a practical plan for change, and that might mean looking at the environment and alarm clocks and the environment the night before and setting up support systems and maybe a gradual process, one day per week and like that. So I'm encouraging you to acknowledge yourself, pat yourself on the back as she's doing right here in the Sopotov Studios. Marie is patting herself on the back, and for awareness, and at the same time not to be complacent, but not to be overly harsh with yourself. Stages of change, model for change. Thank you, Marie.
Thank you. It feels very good. It feels very good, to understand where I am at, in the scale of changes. And I am conscious, I know where I am at. And it's encouraging, the model you just presented, the model. And I'm already thinking of like one step I could make that will already go in that direction. and not really stretch me so much that I will break or anything like that. So I appreciate it. Thank you, David.
Yeah, thank you, Marie. You're listening to Soft Dough Radio Show. We have another 2 or 3 minutes left on the show. The next foundational seminar, October 21st to 23rd in Gainesville, Florida. The next advanced seminar, November 5th to 11th in North Florida. After that, an advanced seminar, November 27th to December 2nd in Edmonton, Canada. And Safito 3, an adventure in conscious living for graduates of the advanced seminar in Switzerland, at December 28th to 31st. Safito 3, an adventure in conscious living. That's New Year's Eve in Switzerland after planning will be an ecstatic experience in conscious living.
I'm so much looking forward to that, to end the 2011 with Salvatore Tree and begin the years with like that heightened consciousness. That I know we get, because that will be our third Salvatore Tree. And I know after each Salvatore Tree, I can see a heightened consciousness, a sense of like really understanding more what my life is about.
Thank you, Marie. Yes, we encourage advanced graduates all around the world to converge in mass, in mobs, in gangs. In Switzerland, December 28th. December 28th to December 31st in Switzerland. Yes. You've been listening to the Soft Dough Radio Show. This is David Wolf, your host. We talked about humility and false humility, and we talked about stages of change with Marie offering herself as an example. And I think that's important because we focused on awareness, because probably everyone, you and me, Marie, and all of our listeners and all of those who will click the link on the library section, the radio show link to listen to this, that we can probably find areas of our life where we're in all six stages. Areas of our life where we're just sort of ignorant and unaware. Others in our life can see it's just like he really needs to change that. Maybe it's a communication habit or financial management or communication habit or a health habit or a habit about sleeping or drinking or eating or smoking or whatever, habits in different life areas. We probably have areas where either now or we aware of times when, yeah, I should have changed, that people can see, but I don't see. And then areas where I know I want to change that and I'm just not ready to. We're contemplating, and then the stage of, okay, I'm really making a plan for change, then the action stage, implementation, fifth stage, okay, I've changed, but it takes effort to maintain, otherwise I'm going to slip back and I'm going to have a lapse, and it could become a major relapse if I'm not conscious. So conscious maintenance, and then bringing it to completion, resolution, where I don't even have, like for myself, let's say, I have many habits in all the stages, and as far as pre-contemplation, I'm not even aware of them, but others in my life can see. But let's say I have it like, there was many years, like from a teenager even into my early 20s, where I sort of knew, yeah, to be vegetarian would be healthy for me. It's something I wanted to do. But I always had rational, didn't quite do it, you know. And then at some point when I understood the real, let's say, spiritual import, I understood about the health aspect and ecology and environment and morality and ethics. I kind of understood that, but I didn't change. But then at some point I got something very deep, and I also got a taste of a lot of really good vegetarian food that made a big difference. But now that's, it really made a big difference. But now it's like I don't even think about eating meat, you know. So it's, I can really say that one's at termination. Now, I have other habits where I've changed, but it's like my minds are always tempted. It's a constant struggle. So then I'm in maintenance, and it takes a lot of effort to maintain. You've been listening to the Soft Dough Radio Show, your station for self-realization. Join us next week, September 21st, 1 p.m., 1 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for joining Soft Dough Radio Show, your station for self-realization.